Sometimes I don't like my voice. We have been blessed in Lighthouse. We have had powerful speakers, great men and women of God, teachers and prophets, Pastor Steve, Pastor Mary. We have Pastor Jennifer now, and we had Pastor Renee. We had Brother Chris. We had Brother Moses. We've had Amy, we've had a wonderful sermon last Sunday from Brother Keith. Who else? Oh, Kim. Yes, Brother Kim as well spoke. I'm sure I've left out some. But God has blessed us with men and women who love him. We take this for granted. You know, I watch certain churches online and I'm thinking, gosh, the day before yesterday, I was watching a renowned guy whose name I don't want to mention, in Uganda. And everything went well for a while. I'm thinking, oh, okay, so I forward, I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's changed his ways. And then, like when we was like, okay, this is really wonderful, this is wonderful, and then, oh gosh, no. False doctrines and me, I, and how important you see, how holy I am, you know, and poor you, but great I am, you know. We have not had such people in Lighthouse, and it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God, but I also believe it's the way that we support one another in prayer that is really important. So now comes me. Like, you've had all these great people, and it's me. Oh, my. God help us. Dad Nolin once made this statement in a Tagaytay conference. I'll paraphrase it. He said, we don't have it on the screen now, you just wait for me. You shall have as much of God as you want or allow yourself to. Let me repeat that. You shall have as much of God as you want. If you want more of him, you will have more of him. That's a profound statement. It stuck in, and this is how many years ago, but it stuck in my head, and it has helped me along the way when I'm saying, God, where are you? God, where are you? I can't see you. I can't feel you. And then I remember that statement. Now, it is a paraphrasing of what God has spoken in his word. He says, if you seek me, you can say with me, with all your heart, I shall be found by you. You shall have as much of God as you want. So we are busy, as we have heard. We are busy with where's that gadget? With these things, and I believe that God is telling us today to commit to put aside time for him. If you commit, and I'm continuing from your sermon, you see, if you commit, if you determine the time and the place daily, you will be able to follow through. It's hard. Adults and young people, we know that. There are movies, and there's lots of things, and there's news, and there's lots of videos we could watch in a day and night. But how much of God do we want? How much value do we put on this life that we are walking? I am a Christian. I am supposed to be Christ-like. How do I get to the best of what God wants me if I don't spend time with him? So I'm just chatting with you, you realize. There's nothing that is profound or new that you're going to hear from me, but I felt that God was putting these things on my heart. As Pastor Keith was sharing last Sunday, I kept on hearing these things and said, but I want to talk about that. And I think it's the reason that he put it on your heart, and I'm sure he has put it on your hearts as you meet with him in prayer, and he is there to remind us today. So when we gather like today, or you know, in your own personal life, God is always waiting for you. And he says, come in and dine with me. But I don't feel like. But I'm so tired. Maybe let me sleep. I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe let me not go to church today. Maybe let me not go early today. Today I will take my time. How much of God do I want? And I realize that when I come in, like I don't feel like praising or raising my hand, that when I say to my soul, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and I raise my hands up, within a few seconds, the flesh is overcome by the Spirit. Amen. And I'm able to praise and worship. So let us not have an excuse. God has given us, the Bible says, everything we need for life and for godliness. We have it. It's whether we are willing to have that much. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I've not even started the introduction. So thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying for Brother Keith last Sunday. I believe that God has put a few things that I would like to share with you. If it doesn't apply to you, pray that it will apply to somebody. So the title of the sharing today, slide one, if you could help me. Somebody chose it for me. Thank you. It says, our place in God's grand purpose. I had a couple of other titles when I was thinking about this. It says, living in light of God's master plan. Our place in God's grand purpose, or reflecting or meditating on his grand design. We've sung wonderful songs today, and praise the Lord for those songs because they sort of fit with what I believe God has given us to share today. God is doing something. God has been doing things from the beginning of creation till now. What is, do you think is the end game for a Christian? What is the end result of our Christianity, of this walk? Somebody tell me. Yes, come on. It's not a tricky question. We know the all of us know the answer.
Heaven.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Finish the race. Being as
godlike.
As godlike.
Being in the eternal presence of God.
Being in the presence of God eternally. And so he is, I don't know, I'm a dreamer. I look at God working, orchestrating things. I don't see them. Some of them I see. Working with the world, working with me, working in Lighthouse, and the extensions of Lighthouse, people being saved, people being delivered. We look at in the Old Testament, on Abraham, the life of Isaac and Jacob, and he's sending angels to talk to Daniel, and you know, and he's giving all these records for us to read what he is doing, what is happening. From the day of creation till now, preparation for redemption and actual redemption when Jesus comes. And now we are at this stage where we are being prepared for heaven. We are being sanctified. I wish I could pick a little bit of God's brain and say, now, what is next? What is happening? What can't I see? This is a grand plan. This is a great plan that he is he has embarked on, and we are part of that. And so I would like us to begin with, if you go to slide 3. With where it all begins, this story of God's master plan and grand design. Let's read Genesis 1:1-2. Simply, we know the story of creation. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we know, and as God started creating, let there be light, and so on and so forth, it's written that God said it, and it was so. And he saw that it was good. He was pleased with his creation. That is the great creator God. And on slide 4, if we have it, in Genesis 1:26-28, he says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over the creatures that move along the ground. I'm trying to rush here. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase and subdue the earth and all that. On verse 31, he says, God saw... Let's read together. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So in verse 27, he says, so God created mankind in his own image. Brother Keith, you talked on this last Sunday. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And God, we read that he breathed in them and gave them the breath of life. My brother, my sister, we are created of God. You know, the other creatures, creation, he said, and it came to be. And for man, he said, see, my mind that imagines things. Let us make man. But this is going to be special. In our image. And he bent and formed us. And put flesh on these bones that he created. And then he breathed into us, into our lungs. And now we breathe, we live the breath of God. Without his breath, we don't exist. Now, he didn't do this for the animals. He did it for us. We are special. I don't know the full plan. You don't know the full plan. I'm sure when we get to heaven, we'll know it. But now we don't know how special we are. So my brother, my sister, if you are having struggles with who you are on this world, it's a big world. It's all sorts of things are happening. People who don't put any value on you. Here we read that God has already put his value on you, and it's what matters. Amen? Amen. Slide 5, please. So we see that mankind is the crown of God's creation, and we are stewards of his creation. So I wrote there, only for humanity did the Creator speak with himself and breathe his own life, crafting us in his own image. Psalm 8 has a wonderful way it talks about us. If we can read it together. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels, and crown them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. And so that is the place of residence for us. He says, you made man and woman a little lower than the angels, and you crowned them with glory and honor. I don't feel like I carry the glory and honor of God. But that is what the Bible says. I would like us to, let me put it this way. God would like us to realize our worth, our value, the value that he puts on us. Here it says he has crowned us with glory and honor. So this is our home. This is where we're supposed to be. Now we know that Adam and Eve lost it, and the Lord Jesus Christ has restored for us and is still restoring for us this place of honor. We are the people who should be wearing God's glory and honor. We are his special possession, a people he made in his own image for eternal fellowship. So I believe that Christians should be the most joyful people in the world. I don't believe that we should walk around with our heads held low and poor me and I don't have any direction. Where am I heading next? What is going to happen with me? With no sense of belonging. These things happen. They're real. The feeling of hopelessness, the feeling of lack of direction. What's next for me and for my family and for my children, for my grandchildren perhaps? But let us be reminded today that the scripture, and it's for a reason that is written for us, is full of these words that we belong to God. You called him Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. Turn to your neighbor and say, you belong to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 2, that is slide 6, if we have it, Michelle. Thank you. Hebrews 2, 8 to 12, says, in putting everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. So, yeah, we may not see that, but we're supposed to be there. But he says in verse 9, but we do see Jesus was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Praise the Lord that God gave Jesus to suffer death for us. And in verse 10, he says, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory. Did you read that? In bringing many sons and daughters to glory. Just that part. To glory. You know, life is difficult, and you know, and I don't know what next, and, oh, poor me. No. To glory. Amen. Folks, the church worldwide, we need to wake up to realize and recognize what God is doing, what God has done. And through his Holy Spirit, what he's going to do. We are a people of the glory of God. And it says it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists. For whom and through whom. So, yes, we will feel beaten, we'll feel low, we'll feel down. If we are not depending on God. It's through him. It's through his spirit. And that's why I think Pastor Jennifer has been banging on and on about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't live this life that God is working on for us. What he's given us and what he's working on. So, my brother and sister, we need more of the Holy Spirit. And he says this in verse 9. He is now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. That was 9. So we at in 10. In verse 12, of Hebrews 2, he says, I'll declare your name to my brothers and sisters. Did you catch that? It says, I'll declare your name. This is Jesus speaking. This is actually in Psalms 22, but it is a prophecy of Jesus speaking. He says, I will declare your name, the name of the Father, the name of God, to my brothers and sisters. And today, you are a sister of Jesus. Today, you are the brother of Jesus. No, I don't think we realize that. I don't think we appreciate what Scripture has given us. We are brother and sister. We are, I would say, to paraphrase, siblings of Jesus Christ. I think if we knew these things, we know them, we read them, but if we believe them, should I say, our lives would be different. In the assembly, I'll sing your praises. Praise the Lord. Slide 7. Psalm 139. I think everyone knows this and many have memorized it. So let's read it together. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that fully well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, we thank you that you have made us and put your breath in us in such a way that today we can recognize that we are a special creation for you. That God, you love us. That God, you know each and everything about us. There is no detail that you don't know. There is no... Jesus puts it this way for us. He says, the hairs on your head, the number of them, God knows. In other words, God, you are telling us you know each and every detail about us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this big plan that God has, this grand master design or plan, we are in the midst of it. We are center. We are center. And so I would ask some questions here. Do we really, so far what we've read, do we really believe these things? Do we believe that God saw us before we were made? That when we were being made, he was aware? If we don't believe, why don't we? And if I believe that this God's word is truth, what should be my response? What should be my lifestyle? What should be my daily routine when I wake up in the morning? Keith touched this last Sunday. What has Trump done today? Oh, okay. Oh, election is in the Philippines, right. What is happening in Equatorial Guinea today? Oh, I have a lot of work today. Oh, gosh, I'm so tired. Oh, it's raining again. Oh, it's so hot. Name it. These things are real. There's nothing that is... These things affect us. These people affect our lives. We are not on an island. We live in a world that is broken. But the truth is, there has to be a different response. a lifestyle, in other words, that matches our worth, our value, our position in this plan, the great plan that God has for all mankind, for all creation. I don't know how heaven is going to be sometimes. I remember David asked me when I was a young father, okay, when he was young, say that but heaven will be so boring. Oh, what shall we be doing in heaven? What is there to do? It's just so boring. And he cried actually one time, literally shed tears. I'm sorry to tell on you. And I said, and so I stood there. I said, God, help me. How do I answer this question? but we don't know what God is planning. And some people come and say, 666 means this, and then, and then the Pope, and then European Union, 12 countries, and now there are how many countries? We don't know anything. We don't know any detail except whatever God has written in his word and what he chooses to reveal when he wants to reveal. But meanwhile, as we wait for his grand plan to, today is now I have this chapter. Yes, I can see this chapter of my life. Now I'm getting married. Fine. Chapter of children. This is, it is so hard. And we go in the ups and downs. And God keeps on revealing the plan for the great church, but for you as an individual, for you as an employee, for you as a citizen of Hong Kong. Because God has a plan for each one of us. And his details are his details. He says, how much of me do you want? Come, and I will dine with you. And then he tells you a little bit more about yourself. Where you should be involved, what you should be doing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Slide 9. So we're trying to walk. We've walked so fast. Whoosh, we went through Abraham. We didn't even touch them. Through Daniel and now Jeremiah and all these people. And so Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Joel, prophets, they talk about the Messiah that is coming and salvation for his people. David's Psalms are so full of his promises of sending a savior, redeemer for his people. He gave us a picture with a tabernacle in worship and praise and what it takes for a man to enter his presence. And all led to Jesus. Did you see how many years? How many thousands of years Jesus was promised? God is great at making great plans. Everything that he does is great and is good. And so we should be thinking, what is God now planning to do after Jesus has come? So we read in the Bible, we have a few ideas about that. But what is coming after when I'm 60? Soon. I don't know, for me personally, but for his church, for Lighthouse, Pastor Jennifer, if you're watching. After Pastor Jennifer, what next? Maybe rapture would not have happened and there will be some people here. I don't know. Maybe the young ones looking at you. I don't know. But God is planning something great. He always does great things. We should aim at being close to him so we know where we fit in this great plan. Here we talk about redemption, so he's planned redemption after Adam and Adam sinned. And I don't know why we always say Adam. I don't know why we don't say Eve, because it was it started with Eve, but I don't know. People may have an issue with that. Forgive me for saying that. But again, it is Adam's sin, and therefore he separated himself, or they separated themselves from God because of sin. And then God set in plan, actions and orchestrations to bring us back to himself. When angels sinned, he threw them out. And some are locked up in heaven. In whatever he has put them, he's locked them up. When man sinned, he sent a savior. Again, it shows the value that he puts on us. Hallelujah. It is a God thing to love unconditionally. Jesus, in Matthew 23:37, by the way, I realized, my wife, I'm sorry, it is double T. You were right. See, husbands, you should listen to your wives. So, he says, Jesus cries out in a serious voice. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now, I can imagine Jesus crying with pain, God expressing his pain in that scripture. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You were not willing. This is to Israel, but I guess I want to believe that it's also for us. And we are Christians. But I would like to caution us that we check our hearts. And it's really the Holy Spirit who should be checking our hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to check our hearts. If there is something that Jesus, you know that God would be crying out, oh, my son, Stephen, oh, Stephen, change your ways. Give it up. It's not worth it. And when we say Jesus wept, that's like the quickest, the shortest verse in the Bible, and we want to, but I believe Jesus was weeping here. It tells you, like, over the years, I've sent Jeremiah, I've sent Elijah, I've sent all these prophets, Moses, David, I've spoken to you, I've shown you. Can you believe these guys? A few days after crossing the Red Sea, oh, no, we were eating, you know. What were they eating? Leeks and, I don't know, filet mignon in Egypt. It is impossible to believe the heart of man. It doesn't matter how many miracles you see. If your heart is hardened, it is hardened. They saw miracles upon miracles. It didn't change a thing. See, I was saying the other day, we were discussing it with my wife, the priests, Ananias and all these guys. So Jesus is dead, is crucified, and then they say, oh, we know he's not there, he's resurrected. Ah, what shall we do about this? Now they sat together and discussed and say, now let's take the soldiers, come here. We'll give you a bribe. Just say that his disciples came and picked him up. Oh, and his soldiers like, but that is my job to protect, to guard. How could I fail? How could they, after seeing the miracles that Jesus performed over the years, the 3 years, still be so stubborn to say, let us bribe somebody so that this story of Jesus does not come out? This is us. Now, I think the heart becomes hardened and hardened the more you hear truth and you don't accept it, or you don't, what's the word? You don't take it to heart. You don't put it into practice. And so you begin getting hardened in that area. Every time you hear the word of God and you do not act on it, your heart becomes harder. I don't know, again, that is one of the mysteries of us souls that God has created. Every time you disobey stubbornly over and over, your heart becomes hardened towards God. May God help us. May God help us to act when we hear his word, to act on it. In Ezekiel, this is what God says, slide 10, I'm not sure whether, So he says, Son of man, say to the Israelites, this is what you are saying, our offenses and sins weigh us down and we are wasting away. Sins and offenses will weigh you down. I have sinned before. Surprise. My son David, David, once asked me, Dad, have you ever sinned? No, I didn't. I said, yeah, I have sinned. I don't think there is, here we're not talking about falling in, one time, and we're talking about practiced sin, disobedience, hardened heart. This is what the Jews were dealing with, or what Jesus was dealing with. But whenever you do something, and it feels good, right, for a moment. But here, the Israel says, "Oh, we are weighed down by our offenses." Of course, there will be guilt when you sin. They will be like, "God, I want to change, but I can't change." The Holy Spirit is the only one who can help us to overcome. We need more of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And of course, there's reading of the word and there is, prayer. But I would like to ask to read the Ezekiel 33 with this in mind. How can we live, they asked. And so God said, say to them, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, hallelujah, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. And then God cries out, turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? I call all of us to heed to this word. Apply it to our hearts. Little sins beget big sins. Little lions, puppies, what do we call them? Cubs. My wife again, thank you. Little cubs become strong and mighty lions. Little leopards, babies, they're so cute, oh, so nice. Oh, this, but I love this sin. It's not really sin, it's a wrinkle, it's just me. This is how I am. This is my character. This is how God made me. But the Holy Spirit is saying, that will destroy you. And many times it doesn't only destroy me, it also destroys those around me. Because that's how sin works. Sin begets sin. And God says, I don't want you to perish. Turn away from your sins. Hallelujah. In John 3:16, we see again, God is showing us his heart. He said, and we know this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In John 1:12, we read, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. So here we are. We have confessed Christ, and if you haven't confessed Christ as Lord, if you would like to do so, this is the time. Today is the day. He says, come to me and I'll save you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have been redeemed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh God, we thank you. You are so great. And so this great plan is working. Jesus has come and has died for us, and we have believed in him. The Holy Spirit has nagged us and come on, say it, and we've said it. And Christ has entered our lives. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Slide 12. So now our identity in Christ. We are the church of God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that was weak. We are the church of God.
Amen.
God says, Jesus said, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Lighthouse, the devil may attack you. Brother and sister, the devil may attack you, wherever you are. But God says, I am building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So we are safe in God. So Lighthouse belongs to the Universal Church of God. We belong to one another. For me, that is important. That God has saved us individually, but he has put us in his family. Remember what we read before? He says, family. David, I come to you again. So I used to be away quite often at work, and Monday, sometimes Tuesday, Friday, and then I would come back home and we'd be having breakfast. So up to now we've had until Claire stepped into our plans of having a great Saturday breakfast, all of us together, you know. So one of these Saturdays, David would say, not one, but many times, we are together. Dun, da, 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 da. We are family. We are having breakfast together. It really hurt me. I said, God, why should I have to be out so far away from my child? But together, forever. Family of God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are family. We belong to one another. We are the church of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what God is planning, or what he has planned, what he's executing, because the plan is already there. He's not like, what should I do? I don't think anything takes him by accident. It's magnificent. We are onto something. I hope you see it. It's a great plan. I mean, you know, it's not limited to my little Fanlang small flat or wherever you live. No, it is global. It is all over the world. God is working. In a deep village in Africa, in Antique, I don't know where you come from, in German, which town? Good luck if I can say that. Wherever. God is saving lives. God is sending people. God is delivering people. God is healing. It's not limited. So we are not like me and I and my problems. It is a huge thing. I don't have the words to explain what I believe God wants us to realize. I know we realize it. We know it. But just bring it to remembrance. Let's remember. I want to stir our hearts up. God is doing great things. Amen?
Amen.
And God wants to do great things in you and in me. But God also wants to do things, great things, through you. We are part of this whole story. Peter, I'm supposed to be ending in a few minutes, salvation and our inheritance in Christ. I think that is slide 13. says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. Praise the Lord. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. Amen. Our inheritance, we can't even imagine. I know Jesus said, you will have abundant life. And God, sometimes I ask God, but where is the abundant life? I don't feel it. I want to have it now. Because he says now. He's not saying tomorrow. It begins now, right? And then it comes to that statement. You will have as much of God as you allow. So if there is no abundant life, the problem is not God. The problem is me. Inheritance that is in heaven, being prepared or has been prepared for us. 3:5, 1 Peter 1, he says, that's what we've read. I think it is verse 10. Do we have verse 10? Yes, Daniel. 10. If you don't have 10, I'll read it for you. It says concerning, we don't have it on the slide. This salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come, that means Elijah and especially Isaiah and, you know, all these people. The prophets spoke about it. They searched intently and with a great test care. They wanted to know what the Savior and salvation, what was going to happen, how God would do it. And it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, but me. When they spoke of these things. Even angels look into these things. Even angels want to know, yeah, but you, the angels who sinned, you threw them out. Why, man? What are you doing? I'm sure they understand. You know, I'm just, you know, but in my limited knowledge, I can only imagine what they're talking about. So what is going to happen next? And it seems they don't know the details. It seems only God knows the details. This is a great thing. Because if it was a common thing, it would be common knowledge. Yeah, he's going to save you, and then you will live for 90 years, and then you will die, and then you'll be in heaven. I'm sure there is plenty in the years that we live on here that God wants us to participate in and enjoy and be working on. It is not just to go to heaven. Now, I just wait to go to heaven. No. God wants you to be part of this plan now, now and now. And let's realize more and more this great plan of God. And I'll have to rush. I always think, so Jesus is meeting on the mountain of transfiguration with Moses and Elijah and Peter, James and Jonah there. They don't even know what is happening. I'm saying, but what were they talking about? Have you ever thought that? I mean, what was Jesus talking about with Moses? Now, you know, the death that is coming up, you know, you're going to be having, you know, I don't know. But I can imagine the conversation that is going on in heaven about in Hong Kong, there's going to be some changes. Yeah, we've been, so now, well, what do you think? I don't know. But I'm just trying to say it is a great thing. And we need to be part of it. Amen. Salvation. Jesus says this, you know, angels rejoice in heaven when one soul is saved, right? One soul. Angels rejoice. I don't know if they sing Amazing Grace or they high five each other. I don't know. Oh, lo and behold, one more soul saved in Hong Kong. I don't know how they say it. I don't know whether there's relations. One soul saved. Each one of us is so important to God. Look at your sister, your brother who's next to you, and tell them you are important to God. Amen. Now, I'm supposed to stop, but I have a few things to say. Can I just finish it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Keep going.
Every soul is important to God. I become a bit emotional when sometimes I talk about such things. How do I treat my brother? How do I treat my sister? How do I treat my husband? How do I treat my wife? How do I treat my workmate? This old woman I find who's, you know how, in Hong Kong sometimes when you're fighting on the MTR for space, you know, and this guy is pushing and he looks at you and he shouts at you and you want to retaliate with some words. No, I don't do that. Every soul is important to God. Every soul is important to God. I just want us to, if I know you know it, I know we know it, and maybe you do even better than me, but for whoever may not be convinced about the importance of every soul, today I would like us to reach that point where we know that God honors. This is the person who he has created in his own image to carry his glory and honor. In Romans 8:17, it says, we are his children. We are his heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. I think I've said enough about this. By now we know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So in conclusion, now given this wonderful background of the things we've been looking at, the love of God for mankind, the prophecies regarding his plan of redemption, the orchestrations that have gone on for thousands of years as God has planned and executed, things seen and unseen, great and small, given the high importance and value God has put onto each person, each one of us, each soul that he has made and breathed in and saved from the dominion of darkness into his marvelous light and into his kingdom. We are aware of God's ultimate goal for mankind, fellowship in heaven. What shall we do? How shall we respond? How shall we live our lives? I think first and foremost, we should give thanks, simply. Give thanks. I don't think we thank God enough. I don't think we sing thanksgiving songs enough. It's like, okay, with a grateful heart, with a song of praise. Oh, that one again, we know it. Bring something new. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Okay, what's next? What's the next song? We should give thanks. A grateful heart is a contented heart. A grateful heart prays in line with the Holy Spirit. You appreciate what God has done, what God has given you, and then it helps you not to look at the negative all the time. Praise and worship. People, we need to praise God. Praise and worship, praise is a weapon of destruction. If you want to, I don't know, I don't know whether I should say nuclear weapon. Like, boom, done. And that's what it does many times. Now, we know that the devil, the God in his own timing, in this great plan, is keeping the devil for a while, for a purpose. And sometimes we say, but why don't you just lock him up? In Africa, we have these songs that we sing because we are so flowery, and we say, he got Satan. And he shook him. And then he threw him down and stepped on him. We want the devil gone. But God has said, no, it's not yet time. But when we praise God, scripture is full of stories of how children of Israel fought with praise and worship. These things are written, the Bible says, for us. Now, I know, again, it is hard to say, oh, I'm so tired and I can't praise. When you feel the battle is against you, is when you should raise your voice to praise. And Paul and Silas in prison, they were like, ah, oh. No, they were not like, oh, no, we had, yeah, no one. They were beaten thoroughly. I mean, like, there was no beating like that, I guess. It was just beaten and then thrown into the dungeon. And then the Bible says they began praying and singing hymns. And suddenly, the angel of the Lord came. God acted. God acted to prove his word, to approve of his servants. Let us praise God more. We know the story.
Yes.
We know what he is planning to do.
Yes.
We know his aim. So let us praise. Praise will elevate you. Praise will not leave you where you are and you feel so sorry for yourself. I have experienced that many times. When I walk through that door, I tell God and I tell the devil, I'm going to praise God. And it helps me. Again, as I said, a few seconds and I'm lifted up. It's not really praising God for the sake of praising God, but I feel lifted up.
Yeah.
I need to finish this. So, let's finish with this. Maybe slide 20. We have it. And so we need to wake up. I believe today is just sharing nothing new. It's just to say, wake up and let us begin to walk with God in the will of God. What is my role in this great plan that God is working on? Again, I'm going to repeat myself. How should I treat every soul that I come into contact with? Will I love as God loves them? Should I not honor every soul without putting people in classes of any kind? We put people we respect on the high table, and we put the ones we don't class as high somewhere. You sit there, it's okay. Here's your location, your position. We may not do it physically, but in our mind. And we may not even be aware of it. May the Holy Spirit help us. When I come to church in the morning, shall I not come prayed up, ready to lift my hands in praise, whether I feel like it or not? Shall I not come prepared to testify of his faithfulness? I won't take the pastor to say several times, share. I think we have lost a direction in this, lost the idea of who we are and what the church is. If I keep quiet, my sister and my brother is not blessed. My brother who's going through a tough time may need to hear my testimony. Shall I not encourage him? Shall I not run to help a brother or sister in prayer? Say, okay, let's pray for brother so-and-so. And I realize many times, including myself, I'm speaking this to me. Well, okay, fine, okay, the people around him will pray. But God, if he puts it on your heart, go and pray for him. Go and pray for her. It should not take the pastor to say, okay, so and so, go and pray for that person. If we know this grand plan, if we have it clear in our minds, these things will come naturally to us. Hallelujah. How often do I pray for my pastor? How often do I pray for the service? I have learned that, I confess, I've really learned that, and it helps me. So when I come in here, and maybe the pastor is tired, and I can see that maybe he or she, I mean, this has been for a few years that I've been doing this, I sense it, and I begin praying. And the Holy Spirit will tell me, pray for this, pray for that. I'm sure he does it for you as well. We need to do more of these things. Pray for the pastor, pray for her family. Because she has family. Do we pray for the pastor? Shall I not daily lift up supplications and cry to the Lord for the needs of the church, including those who are under persecution? So Brother Neil says, oh, it's a persecuted church in Laos. Okay, that is ministry. God has called him. No, God has called all of us. We are one. We are one. Sister says, oh, I have issues in my family. Do we, through the week, I know sometimes we write, I want to believe that when we write praying, that actually we are praying, not God help her. Where is the bugger? No. I should be asking the Holy Spirit, how should I pray for this sister? How should I pray for my brother? And then when he guides me, I should then spend a few minutes praying for my brother. Hallelujah. Shall I not seek more of the Holy Spirit so that I am in sync with his great plans for me and for the church? Being purposeful, be a participant in your church. Intently decide to set a time to pray, to meditate on God's word. Hallelujah. And on and on. I'm sure the Holy Spirit will teach you better, will help us better to see where's our role, where do we fall, where are we failing, where do we need to improve. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so grateful for what you are doing, what you have done in this church in particular. You have sustained us, you have kept us, you have fed us, you have protected us. And we've heard of churches which have fallen in numbers, but God, you have kept us going. We thank you. We are so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And now we call on you to help us to change where we need to change. We call on you, O Holy Spirit, to give us the power to break these chains that may be holding us in areas where we need to change. We pray that, God, you give us wisdom on how to be participants in what you are doing. We need more of you, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us, O God. Come and baptize us in your Holy Spirit, we pray. Come, Lord. Come and take full charge of your church and of our homes and our families and each one of us individually. We thank you, God, and we give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Moses is sitting. I'm not sure whether I should dismiss or...
Thank you, Brother Stevens, for the message. It's worth waiting 30 years. And but again, you know, just reminding our brothers and sisters about God's great grand plan that he has for us individually and collectively. Brother Stevens was saying, you see a brother or sister that needs prayer, you go pray for him or they pray for you. If you don't come to church, how are you going to pray for that brother or that sister? Even if we don't feel like coming, let's drag ourselves to come to church and support one another collectively. God bless you and have a wonderful week.